Great. Okay. Well, okay, so down in Orlando, I met several new people that I'd never seen before, or if I'd, maybe seen, I didn't know them. So anyway, our speaker today is someone that fits into that category. And so, yeah, we had a couple lovely but kind of short conversations at the convention, but I'm looking forward to getting to know more about her. And yeah, so without further ado, I'd just like to introduce our speaker today, Lily, our celebrant, 3 years. Congratulations. Come on in.
Yay.
You
Thank
can
you
speak
so much.
as long as you want.
Okay, we'll just kind of flow with this. This is an experiment for me, actually. So, but thank you, Bridget. It was such a pleasure meeting you at the conference, and so many of you as well, like new friends, and I see some old ones. So, yeah, like I said, this is a little bit of an experiment, but I feel I've been coming to this morning. To see a group since the conference because I've made these connections and I'm so thankful for this space so I can be myself. And I've mentioned one thing that I love about my home group, which is the secular meditation meeting. It's at noon on Easter Day. There's philosopher, like there are people who are asking the deep questions who are vulnerable, and this has been such a big part of my recovery, and I feel this in this space as well. So I thought I would take a twist with my share today and ask you all about just kind of asking you to keep in mind what is your philosophy in recovery and life? Everyone's always talking about like higher power or whatnot, but like philosophy was what has helped me get out of addictive behaviors and now in my sobriety. So just putting it out there, but like we're all philosophers. The fact that we're in here, we've asked the like why, if you've ever asked the question why anything, that's philosophy. I studied it, and really, there are three branches, like this ontological, which is what is real, empirical, how do we know it's real, and ethical, which is kind of like the right or wrong. So this is my story in those lenses. So what is real? Lily, at 8 years old, I'm baptized in the Mormon Church. I am so excited but very scared because I now get to be with my family forever in the celestial kingdom as long as I do everything right. I know there's this repentance process, but I can fold my arms when I am in church. I can sing songs. Just don't mess up and it'll be okay. At the same time, family is confusing. People who are supposed to protect me, my caregivers, they fight and it doesn't always feel safe. But as long as I do what Heavenly Father's plan says for me to do, I'm going to be with my family forever. And I'm going to have my own family and babies, and I'm going to be married to a man. And yeah, that's what my reality is. And then Lily at 13. I don't know what this reality is. My parents fight a lot. My friends are getting hurt by their safe people, by their supposedly Mormon, very righteous people. But I'm still obeying. I'm still following the rules because one day I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father. And I'm going to be with my family forever. Just don't mess up. But I keep messing up. I'm not doing well. I'm scared. I'm sad. My body says I'm having these feelings, but I'm told it's not right. I have these parts that I'm told have to have children and that's my journey. But that doesn't feel right. I'm really confused. And now the message is, I believe what's real to me is that I'm bad. I'm trapped. I'm not good enough. My family sing together. My parents go to soccer practice. But deep down inside, I know I'm bad. There's a lot of depression and sadness. I heal my sadness with food. And then I have to hide that. I cut in my leg. I cut an upside down cross. I don't know why, because I believe in the church so much. But I need a release. I need escape. But how do I know what's real? S Lily at 16. I'm finally getting out of here. I can go to Brazil as an exchange student. I can escape. I can leave. I don't have to be tied down. Although my parents, they know my host family, and they are trying to keep me in line. But I'm testing the waters. I'm at least far enough that I can experiment. I fall in love with skater boy boyfriend. We have sex. That's bad. That is really bad. So I'm wondering, wait a minute. My body says one thing. The church is telling me something else. I'm not going to go to church. The only letters I get from my mom are how I need to repent, how I need to pray, how I need to fast. I'm trying really hard. I'm trying so hard to know what's true, but I can't. I can't deny the fact that this doesn't feel right. I'm told that I'm going to be kicked out of Brazil if I don't stop seeing my boyfriend. So we hide in the alleys and try to meet when we can in secret. I've had enough of this. I'm angry. At 17, I come home. I tell my parents I don't believe in the church anymore. I tell my church I don't believe in the church anymore. And I'm excommunicated. My experience, my lived experience, does not equal church rules. I return to Brazil. I marry Skater Boy. We come back to the US because the economy's bad. I start college and I start drinking and I start using drugs. And all of a sudden, my mind is blown. Reality, what is this? Right? Can people think differently? And my whole perspective changes. But at the same time, with a lot of drinking, with a lot of I had a lot of experimenting with hallucinogens, pot, right, marijuana, and I started seeing the world very differently, and it was very scary, and I couldn't handle it. It was too much. My escape led me to a place that was really dark, and I had to run away again. Escaping from this reality anyways, and I became homeless in California. And there at that point, I didn't even care. So I started using harder drugs, street drugs. I needed money for my using. I needed money for my drinking. I needed money to stay out of the rain. Stayed at a cold weather shelter, but I just couldn't handle society. To maintain my use, I became a coyote and was detained at the border for transporting illegal. Immigrants. February 1998 was when I was detained, and I was put in jail where I sobered up, and I remember sitting there going, like. Oh my God, I am part of this problem that I see. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And so then I come to that next part. What is ethical? Well, what is right or wrong? So I decided to come back into society, telemarket waitressing, but I am addicted to crack. And I can't shake that, and I don't know how to do that. but I decide to go to junior college, where I take a soccer course because I'm like, just show up. That was my way. Show up and a philosophy class. So I've always wondered. I'm like, I don't even know what's up, what's down, what's my existence anymore. And I met a friend who was 5 years clean and sober in AA. And he took me under his wings because I couldn't deal with the God thing, which is why I'm so thankful for secular. But he allowed me to be myself. And but there were nights where I would be in my I finally like I stayed I finally had an apartment. I kicked out the person who I was homeless with before, but the cravings were so big. And I found myself walking. I was about 1.5 miles from downtown, where I knew where to get crack. And I would find myself walking and then walking back and then walking and then walking back. And then one day I go and I'm sitting in the bushes, the public library, smoke, and I'm just like, what are you doing with your life? I get a dirty drop, and now I really, really need to shape up. I cannot mess up. And so, talking with my friend and finding ways to just stay down, I just had to stay down. And the nights that I had cravings, I would lay on the floor in my room, in my apartment, and I told myself I just wouldn't get up until morning. And I'm there with my brain, and it's like, my body hurts, and I'm do going through. Just everything that was uncomfortable. But every time I did that, it got a little bit easier. And I had my friend to talk to. And I was excited because at the same time, now I'm in philosophy. And I'm like, whoa, philosophy. I'm finding my new reality. I'm shifting. I learn about Taoism. I learn about these different philosophers, but at the end of the day, it was to like figure out like what is this? Part of why I became homeless is because I was so angry at the world. It's like so much hurt out there. That was the reason for depression, which is the monster that I used to know so well and still do from time to time. But yeah, so I did that, and I found peace, but I continued drinking over the years. I was able to rationalize that. And so kind of fast forwarding, I lost friends. I broke my face, broke my teeth, I pissed myself, I lost trust, I lost face, I lost myself. I managed to get through, but knowing that, alcohol was my life. Alcohol was my new reality. Like my world became drinking. Relationships I chose were about choosing people who drank like I did, being proud of, I can, what, you're 300 pounds, dude, like I'll drink you under the table. It was like a part of my identity. I drank when I was happy. I drank when I was sad. I started drinking when I was angry and realized I had to watch out for that. But at the end of the day, that became my life, and I made sure that I had people around me that supported that life, and that I was able to sneak. But then my reality too was started become I was a lie, like I wasn't honest with myself or others. I was sexually assaulted. I drove drunk, but it was never the alcohol problem. Oh, well, that happened because I was there by myself. And so what I need to do is when I need to drink, make sure I have my friends, but driving drunk with hazards on because I knew I was too drunk to drive. Like I'm thankful I never hurt anyone. But yet it still wasn't the alcohol. Well, you know what? You need to do an Uber, and you need to make sure you have that phone, handy. And so that was my reality for Another 20 years. I believe that my reality was I needed alcohol to be happy. My motto was work hard, play hard. Hard on the gas, hard on the brakes. And in 2021, early in April, I had a heart attack. And then I had another heart attack. And I have a defibrillator. Now I'm on pain, or not pain, blood thinner medicine. They did give me pain medicine. I knew enough with my experience with hard substances before that I did not want to do that, but I still rationalized my drinking. It was still fine. And without much regulation, I'm like, okay, my planning was about how I was able now to drink with these blood thinners, but at the same time, once you start drinking the way I drink, it's for days. And I landed in the hospital again, and I still couldn't see that it was a problem. Like I was trying, like I was like, okay, this isn't working. I need to, it's not the alcohol. I just need to figure this out. And I was going to therapy because of my drinking, although I knew that the trauma behind it, right? It's not the drinking itself. So I try it. I'm like, okay, so what I'm gonna do after work, and so every day became this struggle. Like I woke up knowing that I didn't want to drink because I don't want to die, but I need to get to work and I need to, so maybe plan after work. I'm just gonna like tonight, I'm not gonna drink and I'll just go home. And I found myself driving straight, this is the old habits again. Right to the liquor store, right? And of course, because I drank so much, I have all the different liquor stores around town so that not one place knows that I'm drinking every single night with that amount of, and it's just the rationalization that came behind it. Once again, that was my reality, and knowing I just need to do what feels good, but it stopped feeling good. And I started feeling like I did when I was trying to get off crack. Like I couldn't, like the nights were restless. And again, I would literally drive around my town to try to like shake off the craving. And I kept going in to the stores and I kept drinking and I couldn't do it. And three years ago, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm gonna die. There was one day that with the alcohol and the blood thinners, I was so drunk that I bruised myself. Like I had literal like sleeve, people get the awesome, beautiful tattoo sleeves. Mine were all bruises. I had to go to cardiac therapy or rehab. And I had showed up and they put the little monitor things on there and they're like, what happened to you? And I'm like, I'm fine. It's okay. Oh, just it's a little bit of drinking with the thing, still rationalizing. But I broke down. So 3 years ago, I'd say I could picture myself. I'm sitting in my couch and I'm bawling and I call my sister. Who's also struggled with her substance issues and trauma, and is also a therapist. And she's like, Lily, you got to get into these rooms. And I'm like, I can't do the God thing. I cannot do the God thing. In my profession, I'd also knew that I had clients in my hometown. So that was another reason why I didn't want to like go into the door. So she's like, go online and find something maybe you could do a Zoom like not too far away. So I thought Chicago. So at the time I lived in Illinois. So my family's at, and I found this one that was called Free Spirits. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Well, let's check it out. That speaks to me. At least it doesn't feel too godlike. And all of a sudden it opened. They're like, Secular world exists. Secular AA is a thing. Here is the list of a time zone, like the right our secular time zone list. I'm just like, and I cry. I cry. I'm so angry. I'm so defeated. I'm so happy. I'm so like all the things. And those in my home group who were around, I'm just like crying for like a month every day. And it was all the feelings. It was all the feelings. But in that, I found a secular meditation meeting. And again, just still so defeated. It right time. It the description we read from the Daily Stoic. I'm like, that's philosophy. So I went in and there were people there who want their philosophers. Just like it's the same vibe I get with the Tu Snuva Morning. But we're talking about like Stoic 2000-year Stoic philosophy and how it relates to recovery and how it relates to having a life that's like that feels good, like the art of living, right? And I'm like, this is so weird. And people were painting. They were one person had a camera on and she would paint the recovered or the Stoic quotes and kind of blend it in with her own recovery. And people were happy. And they were, I remember this one woman who's still around. She was just like, "I love my sober life." And I'm like, "What is happening? Is this even possible?" I was so afraid of losing my identity, which was like enjoying life. I thought it was going to be all over, and so I kept coming back, and I got excited, and then I started, then you hear, the people's shares and stories, and then I started coming back because I wanted to know how they were doing, and I was sharing, and at that point too, I was like, I don't even give, like, I just, I'm bawling, I'm like, I don't know what to do, and I was like, well, I don't know, maybe I don't want a sponsor, I don't need that, but then people were like. And doing the sponsors were really helpful. I'm like, okay. And so listening to who was, and I was told early on in a share, I heard, look for the people who are happy, honest, and kind. It's like, okay. And so like I'm jotting down all these wonderful things that I was hearing in meetings that I still hear in every meeting. I'm like, okay. And then I reached out to people who I related to and spoke to me. And I was like, oh, Jeffrey Munn? Jeffrey Munn's, but there's practical steps. There's no like God stuff. I was like, step two, what is about what you want your life to look like things that you want to do again? I could not have been so more excited. I wrote down this list. I'm like, I want to paint again. It's been like 12 years since I've like done any art. I want to travel. I want to, and I started listing all these things that I could never do when I was drinking because one, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the energy because I was either drunk or hungover. I couldn't make anything happen. I wasn't taking care of my body. And so I'm writing these things. I'm like, this is so exciting. And step three was like just making the commitment. Like, okay, we're good to go. We're good to go. And I'm sharing this with my sponsor. Step four. The way I did step four was a bit how I work with my clients. So I'm a mental health therapist, which I don't know how I did that while I was drinking, but it was again that work hard, play hard, turn on the brakes, Sunday night detox kind of a thing, right? Just sweat it all out in my sheets, and then you're good to go, and you just don't drink until Thursday, right? So I don't know. I did it, but I'm there and I'm like, okay, I need to use these tools. So for me, step four and five were done together. I asked my sponsor if I could, like, I would write a little bit down in four and then share. And then a little bit more four. So it was digestible. There was a lot. It was a lot of resentments, a lot of fears, a lot of harms. A little bit and then share. And then when I got through all of it, then we took one day and just Like I got to fill in the blanks and I just got to tell that story and I got to let it go. And then, and then instead of character defects is traits. Like, okay, what are the things I want to work on to be a better person? I'm like, this recovery thing is not just about being sober, is it? It's about like, who do I want to be? And 8 and 9 with the amends to let go, and then the daily practice in my life. And all of a sudden, it's like time has passed. It's 1 year, it's 2 years. And so I guess to put it all together, what is real for me now? What is real? My alcoholism is real. I didn't want to admit it in the beginning. I could not say I was an alcoholic when I first came into rooms, and that's fine. And I like being able to say, identify the way I want to. Like, I'm a person in recovery today. Today I'm working on my wellness. I'm an alcoholic. But the reality is I cannot drink and be safe, and I cannot drink and only have one. Or at least not one and like torture myself to like, how am I gonna met? Like, I don't need that. And because I've accepted that, because of that step one that I do every day when I go to meetings, when I talk to sober friends, recovery partners, I can say, yeah, it's a reality and I'm fine. I don't need it. AA is a real secular AA is a reality. The connections I've made here, my sober friends, my recovery partners, how amazing. How thankful am I to have had, the privilege of being with someone and guided with someone, cared for, and to now help and care for and just love on them. Right? It's so inspirational and so amazing. And the connections that I'm making, and then the ICSA conference. No idea that this could be a reality. Like my life without alcohol when I first came into these rooms, I just thought it was done. So my reality is also including like I can feel things now. My reality is the belief that I'm okay as I am, having done, trauma work through EMDR, therapy, recovery, working steps. Yeah, I'm okay as I am. I'm not trapped. I'm an adult. I could look at the back of my hands and be like, those are very much older hands. And that means I have choices and I can do things. And so how do I know what's real? Well, I chose to give AAA a try. And I made sure that I did what was recommended. I love my group because there's no like no one saying well, you got to do it exactly like this. But I was able to talk to people, try it out, and this works. This is wild. This is like really. I'm apparently like really giddy right now about this whole thing, but I can't believe my life. And because I've tried it, how do I know what's real? I've been able to break down distorted beliefs, and I could feel again. And yeah, that includes the pleasant and the unpleasant, but I'm able to manage. I can navigate, and every day I have a lived experience that I can do this, and then I'm okay. And that I can make life feel good, depending on my perspectives. That the meditation meeting, we talk a lot about perspective, how you shift your perspective to be able to, like how it's magical. My life is magical now. So what is ethical? What is right or wrong for me? The other philosophical area. It's just do the next right thing. No matter what. Have a sober day. Like my one job. I have one job, and that is not to drink today. Anything else can go, right? But I have one job, no matter what. And it's one day at a time. I'm so excited I have 3 years, but it's just one day at a time. I what feels right is helping myself, helping others, finding balance, continue to ask the questions. Taoism is a philosophy that means a lot to me. People think of the yin yang, go with the flow, excuse me. Excuse me, the universe, the Taoism means the way, and it's just like it just existence. But I'm also I identify as agnostic. I don't know. I don't know, and that is okay. I love knowing that I don't know, and it's okay. because it's real. I love life. I can love life and not hurt others. As long as I'm not hurting others, I can enjoy my life as much as I want. I'm painting now. I'm drawing. I'm connecting. I go to these groups, excited to see everyone. I surf. I couldn't surf in Illinois. I did other activities, but life circumstances brought me to Maryland. And I'm doing that. That is fucking awesome. Okay. Anyway, so it's just again taking my life back. But it's because of all of you. It's because of philosophy. It's because this opportunity. So checking my hypothesis, right? So let's go back. I wake up every morning in this body. I understand the neuroscience of trauma. I've been able to heal. Life and death exists at the same time. Growth and decay exists at the same time. It's okay. These things can be okay. I can pay attention to what feels good. I can recognize what's not okay. I can do my best in my micro universe. The micro and the macro exist. I believe the one and the many, the parts within myself. Right, whether it's my body parts or my sad parts, my angry parts, my head, right? Then and to be a part of a community and something bigger, and just recognizing that this all can exist too, that I matter and I don't matter. And that's also beautiful to me. So testing this hypothesis, like, to me, curiosity. And asking these questions, right? The why. Curiosity is magic in my life. It allows me to feel content. To be curious, I need this body. Alcohol equals death. Therefore, in conclusion, if I want magic, I have to choose not to drink. And that is all part of my philosophy. And you are all part of that. And I am so thankful for you. And having these rooms, secular AA, it makes me wanna, like, let's go share it. So yeah, my philosophies also include gratitudes on a daily. The big and the small. One of my recovery partners and I share gratitudes, and it really makes a difference. And I could tell when I'm slipping and keep each other in check. My connection to secular AA and other healthy individuals. Being active in my step work and recovery. Now it's like step 10 and 11. I can meditate, movement. I like to do intentions in the mornings. I check in my step 10, which is the daily inventory. It's not just about the harms I've done, although that's very important, resentments, but also I get to give myself kudos for the positive things and positive choices that I've done and the things that are happy in my life. I love the Tao philosophy, going with the flow, healthy and fun activities, curious, creative. I keep reevaluating my philosophies, knowing that I don't know, and that's okay. And to keep coming back. That's it. I got that one. And don't drink no matter what. So this is what my life looks like now, 3 years later. And with a lot of gratitude, thank you again for letting me share this with you today. It was really fun. Bridget reached out and she didn't know it was my soberversary. And I was like, oh, this is funny how things work. So I'll take it. And I guess maybe my question to you, there's time. Good. I'm just curious, Bridget will be like, share on whatever is on your mind, but I'm just curious, what are your philosophies that keep you going in life and recovery? Because I learned so much from you and knowing what's important. Oh yeah, that's a cool idea. So with that, thank you so much. Thank you again.